Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back as we are live. A little thirsty Thursday. Make some noise out here today. There we go. Make some noise as we are live enjoying ourselves on a thirsty Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings, Bud Light, we appreciate you for helping us put this together. We are out here right off Tomball Parkway. You can make your way out here. We've come here multiple times. If you need the address, 17195 Tomball Parkway, you can be here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. And you can hang in here Thursday night football. TV's all over the place. If you want to play a little hooky and watch the Astros as they are currently trailing 3-0 right now in the fourth, you can come and pull up, have a beer, have some wings, and watch the Astros right here live as we're here. And you got a chance to win some prizes. I hope that if you have not, that you put your name in our raffle box. You got a chance to win a gift card to HEB, maybe get you some groceries, whatever you want to do with that. And then later on, some Bud Light swag as well. All you got to do is grab a ticket, put it there in our raffle box, and you can have a chance to be our winner today. All right, Clint, we just heard from D'Amico Ryans. Here in a little bit, we will hear from C.J. Stroud coming up in the next hour. But I wondered if you had any response to it. There are people who texted in on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch that had responses to it from the text line. Clint, I effing love how D'Amico has the media on pins and needles. He also he's all business, and he defends his guys like a good head coach is supposed to. Really starting to have my doubts about D'Amico Ryans and his head coaching position. The way he responds, it drives me crazy. I just wish for once he would get on CJ's ass the way he gets on the defense's ass. All the criticism, these are all texts coming through, Clint. All this criticism directed towards CJ Stroud should be focused on the O-line. Fix the O-line and watch how much better CJ looks. I do not like, as a Texans fan, the head coach of my team always trying to blow smoke up my butt each and every week. So a lot of people heard different things there. Hell, you say fix the O-line. Hell, at the end there, he said the O-line did some good things to the Rams. Hell, he said somebody could have stepped up in the pocket more. I believe that's the quarterback. Only person, maybe he's talking about Woody Marks. I don't know, but the quarterback could have stepped up in the pocket more. There was a lot there, Clint. I don't know about you. The thing that jumped off to me, you said in the last segment, that was spicy. That was an annoyance. There was, I'm about over. That sounded like a man whose rope is getting shorter. And I'll be honest with you, Clint. I know some media members may not, you know, all right, damn, man. Here, man, I'm just asking a question. But in terms of football and the coach, I'm with you, man. I like it. He should be pissed. He should be annoyed. He should be mad at – now, he should be mad at the people asking the questions, but he should be mad about the state of which his offense is. He should be mad about – what that looked like. He should be mad about some of the decisions and things that have been done, because they didn't walk out here to be scoring on damn 9 points. They walked out here to improve, as they said, when they fired Bobby Slowick, to go to the next level, and he should be pissed. He should be. He looked out there. He knows that's not what that team is supposed to be looking like, to be trying to reach the goals that they have set. So I'll be honest with you. I like that D'Amico is in this space.
Yeah, look, I like spicy D'Amico. I think they should all be spicy at this time. Anybody on the offensive side of the football should be spicy as hell. You know, the thought of the one player playing well or one unit playing well and that guy just being okay with the fact that he or the unit played well, hopefully that's a thing of the past and left when you got out of the Laramie Tunsil business. I mean, this is about nobody on the offensive side of the football should be happy, should be satisfied. Nobody should think, well, if everybody else just executes, we'll be fine. they should all be disappointed. Here's the deal. DeMeco early in the week tried to be you lose a game and cut everybody and fire everybody. You win a game and you're going to the Super Bowl. It's a beautiful thing about the NFL. It's a beautiful thing about football. We love it around here. We love it. Well, as we get closer and closer to game time, DeMeco gets closer and closer to game mind, right? I mean, he's not about all the silly questions. He's not about any kind of distractions. Monday and Tuesday, he don't mind playing around and joking and laughing. You get to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's a different mindset. And so I think that's part of it. I do think he's trying to protect his guys, and I don't know that he's as a head coach, he's real smooth with it yet. But there's a lot there. Early in the press conference, he was asked about Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. And his response about Joe Mixon was, "We continue to press forward with who's here. We hope he's doing well."
Did that jump out to you as well? What is that? Head coach, what do you mean? I hope he's doing well.
And that's kind of where the first time I sense the frustration, hope he's doing well. I mean, anybody else, it's, hey, man, he's trending this direction. He's getting better. You know, we like his progress.
Almost,
you
know, as if he didn't know.
Hey, hope he's doing well.
He's one of the most important players.
Yeah, that part was very interesting to me. You know, the obvious frustration or annoyance with the question about C.J. Stroud and the O-line, clearly coming to Nick Caley's defense.
He jumped out before the question was completed.
Which by the way, I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill with this particular comment, but this is exactly how they address things with Bobby Slowick. If you remember correctly, but I mean, I got annoyed with, not that it wasn't, I mean, you could it's true, it was a true statement. But it's like, that can't be what the answer is. The head coach and offensive coordinator, the answer can never be, oh, you just got to execute, right? It's so much deeper than that. Hell, my simple-minded ass can watch the film and tell you it's deeper than that. It's not about just executing, right? So this is the way that they got in trouble, and kind of what I believe, I don't have any inside sources, but I believe that's what splintered the offense and why it's where it's at right now is – the whole, no, it ain't on me, man. You guys just got to execute this thing. The offense is great. The scheme is great. It's working in San Francisco. Y'all just got to execute this thing.
Worked last year, yeah.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like that, and that's specifically what DeMeco said. Stay on schedule. Execute, stay on schedule, and then we'll see what kind of job Nick Caley can do. That's a slippery slope if you're me for the players. It's a little bit of a slippery slope. So, and as I mentioned immediately in the response, I don't know how you're asked about the offensive line and then you somehow talking about the defense gave up two touchdowns.
Like, you watched the film. And
yeah, well, there's no doubt.
You watched the film. He said, right, Tyler, am I tripping? He said the offensive line played well against the Rams. There was some things like the quarterback could have stepped up, but overall he thought they played well. You watched it. You came away feeling worse about the performance after you watched the film,
yeah,
correct?
I just don't. You know, I thought in the postgame, our own postgame show, I said the O-line is better than they were last year, which interpret that however you want. That doesn't take much to be better. After I watched the film, I wasn't as comfortable with the offensive line as I was when I watched it in live
time,
action.
Yeah.
You got guys, I mean, you got Jake Andrews doing everything he can, Laken Tomlinson doing everything he can. Those two guys are there. I got zero worries, zero concerns. Right, you got Tytus Howard playing out of position. He just does not have the ability to get low like a guard needs to and move mass. He doesn't have the ability to do that. Did he do fine? Yeah, he did all he could do. Right, and then again, you got Ursary, who's a rookie, and he did not. I mean, he got beat, and when he gets beat, it's blatantly obvious. Right, it happens. That's expected. And then you got Cam Robinson, who you paid $12 million to, and he's over there like he's fighting for his life every single time he's having to pass protect, and it was not good. So. I disagree with that point that DeMeco made there, but I, you know, I understand he's trying to protect his guys.
Yeah.
So it's when you were specifically asked about your offensive line protecting your quarterback, and you somehow, without another question being asked, transition to your defense gave up two touchdowns. You're clearly trying to protect some guys. You know.
Yeah.
Clearly frustrated. So. And again, as well he should be, that was not a pretty outing by the offense.
Yeah, as a text line coming in, so does this mean that they are not in contact with Joe Mixon? I don't know. I don't know what this means. That is becoming very strange.
Here's what we know. Here's what we know is if you asked about Christian Kirk or you asked about Braxton Berrios, it's, hey, they're coming along, they're getting better, that we'll keep you updated on what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. You asked about Joe Mixon, and it was, we hope he's doing fine. We're going to worry about who's here with the team. We hope he's
worry
doing
about
fine.
Who's here with the team. He did say we miss him, but we.
Well, hell yeah, you do. But yeah, no, I don't know. That tells that. Yeah, just a different answer. It seems like there may be a little bit of a.
Like Tyler, I'm thinking, and Clint, I don't. It doesn't feel like. Yeah, man. He's going to be back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's as a fan, I don't care. You know about, I mean? I don't care about if there's animosity. I don't give a damn if they like each other or not. As a fan, I'm going, is he going to play in 3 weeks or not?
Yeah, that doesn't sound. I hope he's doing. I hope he runs out. But again, guys, we are going into week two of the season. It is Thursday, by the way. Mm. We're going into. You
and that
got
beer's
one?
Cold too,
I tell you, man.
That
I beer, ain't gonna lie to you.
The hell are you doing over there?
Man, I'm just living.
The hell is that?
I'm just living, man. You know, got a little.
You got a little copper cup over there. What's in that?
A little whiskey mule. That's all right. Just living. But it's week two, and it's Thursday of week two, and we got and it officially starts tonight, Clint. And we have still no one still has seen Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
since the entire season ended,
where are they?
No one has seen Joe, so I don't know. That's an interesting situation.
I thought when that question popped up, I thought somebody saw him at practice. I started to get excited, like, hey, okay, we're gonna have this 1-2 punch by the time game five rolls around.
Yeah,
but instead it turns into hell. I hope he's all right.
Hope he's doing well. All right, listen, we tell you guys should listen to Texans All Access behind us every night for many reasons. But D'Amico Ryans, he was on Texans All Access. He was with John and Mark. And I wanted to bring this up to you, Clint, the people, to get your thoughts on an assessment D'Amico had in regards to C.J. Stroud and how maybe he could do something that could really help this offense. I want to see if you agree your thoughts on D'Amico. Here's D'Amico talking about what he thinks could help this offense coming from his quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, it is a very great weapon. I mean, when he does it the right way, like stepping up in the pocket, escaping, it unlocks a defense. Right now, he's put on tape several times that he will run. He can gain the first down. So what do you do as a coverage player? Are you staying back in coverage? Are you coming up to get the quarterback? That's the part that you put defenders in a bind. If you want to come up, now he still has the capability. LA Chargers playoff game, right? Get it, scramble, and throw it downfield as well. So him continuing to work those where he can escape the pocket and make you pay downfield, that threat is hard to stop. So I encourage him to continue to do whatever it takes for us to win games.
He encourages it. He encourages moving, running. He ran and gained some yards in the Kansas City playoff game. Now, he took some shots, but he ran and gained some yards. He had 5 carries in this game for 32 yards against the Rams and got some first downs and got some extra yardage that was helpful. Your thoughts on that with D'Amico? Him? Are you want to encourage him run the ball more?
Yeah, but I think there's some parameters there. I thought C.J. Stroud was tremendous this past week in that department, in a sense of, hey, man, it's not there. Get north and south and get out of bounds. Get north and south and slide. Get north and south. Keep your eyes up and throw it down the field. I thought he was absolutely tremendous in that arena, right? There were two different opportunities when he took sacks where he could have pushed up in the pocket had he just been used to pushing up in the pocket. But that's the operative part of what D'Amico Ryans just said is, I want to see him push up in the pocket, and if it's not there, use his legs, right? That is a very, very important phrase or part of what the head coach is saying right there, because I don't want my quarterback drifting, especially now if you got Lamar type speed or the guy you're going to watch tonight, Jaden Daniels type speed, then, hey, you can drift where the hell you want to. But that drift into the sideline, and I know they've made some highlight reel type throws, but as a coach, you don't want your quarterback doing that. Push up in the pocket. If it's not there, get north and south, get as much as you can, and get down. I think the pushing up in the pocket is the operative part of that particular comment by D'Amico Ryans. Here's the overall thought of C.J. as while we're on the topic of C.J., right, with the not pushing up in the pocket, because I saw it on film. Now the head coach has talked about it. That's something where they can get better, okay? I wonder, last year was obviously rough on him from a pressure perspective, right? And then you look at training camp, and training camp was most of training camp was spent with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson in his face with a mucky pocket, chaos around him, and the whole thought was, well, he's going to deal with that in the regular season, right? And so now you got a quarterback that may be, I don't want to scare anybody, I'm just going to use the frame, but seeing ghosts. You got a quarterback that's not pushing up in the pocket the way that he should. Hopefully he can fix this.
You think you're talking about CJ, a little bit of that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, heck, I mean, he's human, right? I mean, I don't know how you would go through what you went through last year and more importantly in training camp and not have some level of like, hey, man, I'm – you know, this chaos around me needs to quiet down a little bit, and I would operate a little bit better. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, I would, you know, ideally, you know, a guy like C.J. Stroud, after last season, you would spend this entire preseason leading up to your game, to last Sunday, you would spend the whole time with a quarterback coach and an O.C. busting your ass to push back up in the pocket, reminding you every play, push up in the pocket, push up in the pocket, push up in the pocket. But instead – he's back there getting pummeled by these two defensive ends that are coming.
Yeah,
so, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry. But ideally, that's the quarterback world you want to live in, is every day, whether it's a good pass or a bad pass, or, you know, that firm up the middle of that pocket, and then you just preach and just hammer it into his head every single day at practice to work that and keep it in his mind. Even when he can't, keep it in his mind. And, you know, you hope that's at least happening right now. You hope that so he can fix that issue, because there were opportunities. There were opportunities. A Jake Andrews sack when he got turned sideways and got pushed back into CJ. He should have just slid right up inside of a Jake Andrews, and it would have been – I don't know what was going on downfield, but he'd had plenty of time to make that throw. So there are times like that where he's got to –
I don't want him to get carried away, though, because he's not a runner. Just taking off and just the shots and the shots that he can take. Like, I think it was – I understand where D'Amico's coming from on – there's some openings there, and you can pick up some first downs. But be judicial with it. Like, if we start getting out and CJ is, all right, I'm gonna get out here and I'm gonna get 6-7 carries a game. I don't, like, obviously he's not Lamar or Jalen Hurts, but I don't even think that I would want him moving and taking off the way that Mahomes does.
C.J. Stroud is not – like, we don't
– moving to throw, yeah.
I mean, I think there's maybe two guys in the league that should even think about playing the style of Mahomes, and it's even ill-advised with them. Mahomes is such a unicorn. He's such a freak of nature. The way he plays, the decisions he makes, whether it's running with his legs or throwing the ball, like, all of that is left for Mahomes. There's one Mahomes in this world. Everybody else needs to live by a different set of rules at the quarterback position. But, I don't think anything the Texans are ever going to do with C.J. Stroud is to worry about from a using your legs perspective. There's never going to be a designed run.
Yeah.
There's never going to be an encouragement to run. It's always going to be a secondary to, hey, is the pocket breaking down, push up in the pocket, keep your eyes up, remain a threat to throw the football as long as you possibly can. You saw him last week pump fake 2 yards down the field and the defender jumped. Stay in that threat to pass as long as you possibly can, get what you can and get down. That's the extent of what I want to see C.J. Stroud doing with his legs.
Yeah, I wouldn't love – hey, man, he's averaging 5 rushing attempts a game. Like, he's I don't know that that's a great recipe that what he does best. And just for me, the hits he potentially may take. But, I mean, obviously it is effective when he's able to pick up some of those first downs. But I just don't think that's – anywhere near the strength of his game.
Well, he is good. Like, what we watched last week was the thing about quarterback scrambling, and again, you got to exclude Mahomes, but the thing about quarterback scrambling is it's not about speed. It's always about control, right? Are you in control? And you watch these guys. That's why Jalen Hurts is so great. He's a good athlete, but he's nowhere near some of these other guys we talked about. But he's always in control. He's always very aware of what's going on around him, and he's getting down, getting out of bounds, and the decision to take off is a smart one, calculated one, and I think that's how I see CJ's legs being used, is more of, hey, man, it's 3-4 times a game when you got a good clean pocket and something's not there, you get loose.
All right, we'll get you an Astros update as we are continuing live here. Buffalo Wild Wings, Tomball Parkway, a little thirsty Thursday. Make your way on out here, watch some Astros baseball, and then hang out with us for a little Thursday night football as well. It's a big, big game in the NFC, but it'll be a fun matchup. So make your way on out here. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the Astros and look at that big matchup tonight. That's next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, live on the drive. If you missed it, we heard from D'Amico Ryans a little bit earlier today, and we will hear from C.J. Stroud coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. We are here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Tomball Parkway. Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings and Bud Light. Bud Light girls have just arrived in here. You've got some swag gear to get, as well as you can also win a gift card to H-E-B, get you some groceries. If you have not done so, put your name in our raffle box, and we will hook somebody up first in the 4 o'clock hour with the H-E-B gift card. So that's coming up right here live on this Thirsty Thursday. Shout out again to Bud Light and Buffalo Wild Wings. A little bit of an update here with the Astros as they are looking to try to win this series today as they're in Toronto. It is now 4-0 Blue Jays here in the top of the sixth as Christian Javier has – there's been some poor defense in the first inning, and then he's kind of struggled a bit. But it looked like for a minute there, Clint, it may completely get away from him. But he has gone five innings and given up those four runs. They're four earned, Clint, but – There were at least what felt like two errors or at least two plays that flat should have been made.
First two runs should have never happened. The third one was a home run.
Was a home run and then a sack fly. So those two are legit. But there were plays that he was hurt by the Astros defense. And Clint, that's going to be a thing with their struggles offensively and their struggles in the bullpen at times right now. Like they got to be able to make the plays they got to make.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I mean, I hear from the traditionalists all the time, man. The old heads. It's playoff baseball is about defense and pitching. Well, if our defense falls apart, our ass is gonna be in trouble, right? I mean, you look right now with the pitching woes that we have in Houston. Like the bats are gonna have to be on fire, and the defense is gonna have to be, I mean, absolutely tremendous in order for this team to make a serious run. I think right now both of them are inconsistent, to say the least.
Yeah. Hopefully they pull it together. I don't know what kind of bets Tyler has on this, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Tyler.
Nothing, brother.
What'd you say?
Not a single piece of action on these MFs.
You're done. No. You're done for a little bit, ain't you?
These sons of bitches, bro.
You didn't even put nothing on Jordan.
Nothing.
Jordan's been winning. Really? Damn.
Nothing.
Tyler is hurting. That's all right. Tyler is hurting. That's all right. Jordan is up, and maybe he could get something going here. But 4-0 in the sixth inning as they still just have a one-game lead in the West over the Mariners. The Rangers, they're 2.5 up on. So we'll see what happens here today. But we'll keep you abreast and updated on what's happening in Toronto with the Astros. All right, Clint, a big one tonight. Green Bay, they are hosting the Washington Commanders, and this feels like a big battle at the top of the NFC, and maybe to see who's maybe the biggest obstacle for the Eagles, who are the defending champs that I think a lot of people feel is the favorite in the NFC. This is a big one tonight between the two young quarterbacks and Jaden Daniels and Jordan Love, and two young teams that are on the rise.
Yeah, look, I don't think it would shock you at the end of the season if these were the two teams in the NFC Championship. I don't know how the bracket would play out, but nonetheless, these are two of the best teams in the NFC, and I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about when the season's over, and it wouldn't shock me at all when the season was over, these weren't the two best quarterbacks in the NFC. Now, I think Matthew Stafford and Jalen Hurts obviously would have a little something to say about that. But when it's all said and done, this is a big-time matchup. Early season matchup, but both of these teams, I think, have real staying power. I don't think last year was a fluke for Washington, and I think Green Bay's coming. They've taken that next step. So I think both of these teams are going to be powerhouses in the NFC. Both of these quarterbacks are going to be two of the top quarterbacks in the league, not just the NFC. And, it's a big-time matchup, man.
Do you in 713-572-4610, you can jump in on this. Do you think these two teams, because coming into the season last year, you could do this from a quarterback perspective too, but coming into the season last year, I think the Texans were clearly ahead of those two teams. Right. Maybe the Packers and the Texans were right there with each other. But clearly, I think they were ahead of those teams because people believed in C.J. Moore than they believed in Jordan Love. Do you think these two teams have passed the Texans? Do you think the Commanders and the Packers right now have passed the Houston Texans?
Yes. Yeah. No, I think they have. Look, I mean, Washington, I mean,
not even just on the same level. You think past them. They are.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a small sample size. I mean, when you got a quarterback that did what Jaden Daniels did last year, and you bring back the offensive coordinator, so everything around him stays the same. You add a lockdown left tackle, and you add, a weapon-type receiver in Deebo Samuel, they're going to be better. And they came out in the first week, and I think they showed to be a really good football team, offensively and defensively. And you look at Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay, I'm not quite as high on Green Bay as everybody else is. I mean, there's some folks out there.
Game,
it was a hell of a first game.
Against the Lions. They just absolutely dominated.
No. I wasn't as high on them as everybody else was coming in. Last week was impressive, and, it's a convincing brand of football, too.
Their defense looks like they are playing the way the Texans' defense, in terms of they just seem to be on attack with speed defensively. And now you add Parsons to that, and it's even crazier right now.
And you've got, again, the offensive coordinator's back, so the terminology is the same. You get the point. I mean, there's just some continuity there. There's some chemistry there that is just not in Houston. And we don't know if it's going to be – and I'm talking about the offensive side of the football, obviously. And you just don't know if it's going to arrive soon enough for the Texans to be a true contender. So, I would say that both of those teams right there, given – that it is a full-blown second year. Everybody knows the terminology. All they've done is gone out and added better pieces in places. All they've done is fix problems, from last year to this year. So while the Texans, I think, have taken a big step back with firing your offensive coordinator and starting over offensively. So not to mention you're not nearly as talented at the wide receiver position as you were last year with Tank Dell and Diggs in the building. You're not as talented at the running back position because, Joe Mixon is out. So
see how he's doing.
So, I think both of these teams have passed the Texans, absolutely.
All right, coming up, let's see what's going on with Tampa. Let's learn a little bit about this Buccaneers team, another group that many people feel like are potential big NFC contenders at the top. Let's catch up with Sports Illustrated's J.C. Allen, also a part of Bucs Game Day. We'll get his thoughts on the Bucs and what maybe the Texans are going to be looking at coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live. Thirsty Thursday. Let me hear you out there. There we go. Yeah, we got some folks in here primed to make some bad decisions. I see a couple over there about three drinks away from just doing something stupid. And that's exactly what we're looking to have here as we'll be here till 6 o'clock live right off Tom Ball Parkway here, Buffalo Wild Wings. We do it each and every Thursday. We appreciate you joining us here on The Drive. All right, as we get you ready, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you hear from C.J. Stroud as he talks to the media today. We already heard from D'Amico. As it's looking a little tense. It's looking a little tense at NRG coming from D'Amico Ryans. But let's head out and get some info on the Bucs. Bucs reporter, also writer for Sports Illustrated. You can catch J.C. Allen on Bucs Game Day on Sports Illustrated. Also check out his podcast, Pirate Parlay. J.C., man, we appreciate you joining us, man. How's it going?
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad to chop it up with you guys ahead of this big game.
All right, man. See, now when you use terms like chop it up, now it feels like you're comfortable here. Now I like that. I want to make sure we are able to do that. JC, what are the expectations? What kind of team are the Texans taking on? Is this Super Bowl expectations? Is this playoff? What are the Bucs in your eyes in terms of their team, their talent, and where they are?
Yeah, I think Super Bowl is definitely on their main priority and main focus. Obviously, they want to win the division again, but I think this is a team that's done that four consecutive years. They're the only team besides the Chiefs that have made it to the playoffs in five consecutive years. And they have their sights set higher, and I think they have the talent on the team to do so. Obviously, a couple of guys banged up to start the season, but once they get them back, the Bucs look pretty good a Sunday against the Falcons. There's definitely some things they need to clean up early on in the game, but as the game went on, the defense started to settle down, the offense started to settle in, and you can see some of the playmakers step up and do things that they're known for. Hassan Reddick with a big sack to knock them out of field goal range. Antoine Winfield Jr. with a potential game-saving pass breakup. Mecca Abuka calling his own shot to seal the deal with the game-winning touchdown. So I think this Bucs team, you know, they've got Super Bowl on their mindset, and I think anything less than that is going to be a disappointment for them.
Well, JC, you mentioned all the obviously big names. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of the big names. And you know, I'm aware of all of them. What a first week by the rookie, by the way. I mean, not only did he call his own shot, but he – you know, in saying that, call your own shot, you know, I think can be taken a lot of ways. My man went to my man told Mike Evans or Baker Mayfield, whichever one of them, hey, man, that, last time I was over on that play, let's get back to it, and then caught it for a touchdown. What a hell of a first game for him. But I tell you, as fans, you know, I want to know a little bit more about the warts of Tampa Bay. Where can we take advantage? Where are y'all's worry points on the off? Let's start with the offense. Where are the worry points for you guys?
Yeah, I think the offensive line, right? You're missing Tristan Wirfs, best left tackle in football, arguably. If you want to say Trent Williams, I won't argue much with you. But after that, it's Tristan Wirfs, and they're missing him. So they've had to shuffle their line up all around, and they moved their first-round pick last year, center Graham Barton. He's out playing left tackle. Of course, he had experience there for 3 years playing at Duke, but most of the league looked at him and said, oh, you're probably an interior guy, and he went out there and only allowed two pressures in his first start and his first opportunity after practicing there for just, if you think about it, 2 weeks, but really only six practices, and Fridays are usually typically more of a walkthrough practice than anything. So to go out there and put on that display, I thought was very impressive by him, but it's still an area where you look out and you're missing Tristan Wirfs. And now Luke Goedeke, their right tackle, who just signed a massive, you know, 4-year, $90 million extension. I think he's probably top five right tackle in the league right now, just doesn't get the credit for it. He's dealing with a foot injury, played through it last week, might not be able to do the same here. So on the offense, is definitely the offensive line. I think you're really set with Cody Moak at right guard. He'll be able to push, get some push. And you know, the Bucs really, they settled in pass protection last week, only allowed one sack, and the sack wasn't even on the offensive line. It was on a screaming nickel blitz coming in. But run blocking is where they struggled last week, and they need to do a better job, and they're going up against a much more formidable defensive front this week. So, you know, I think for them, establishing some sort of ground game is going to be a priority for them going in, but it's certainly an area where that Houston Texans front seven, front defensive line, and linebacking core can certainly throw some wrinkles into that because of, as you call them, the warts right now on the offensive line.
J.C. Allen joining us, Bucs reporter, writer for Sports Illustrated. J.C., this matchup, obviously, you look at games like this, you look at the quarterbacks, and the last time, a couple of years ago, these two matched up, both Baker and C.J. Stroud just both went off in those games for one of the games of the season. There were some thoughts of what Baker would look like now with Coam going to Jacksonville. Early on, what's the thought of how he's adjusted? Because it seems like he's really gained new life going to Tampa.
Yeah, I think, you know, losing Cohen, it definitely hurts. I think Cohen's one of the next young, bright offensive minds that people are going to be talking about here in a couple of years in the same vein as the Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. I think he's that good at what he's doing. But, you know, from everything we saw from Gazzard, yeah, there were some hiccups early on in the game. I think he's going to be fine. He's settled in. He's very calm and poised and collected during 2 minutes, very collaborative with Baker and the guys on the team. They're always, you know, communicating back and forth. All right, what did you see? What should you do? What things do we think we should get to or we could get to? So it's a collaborative process. He's a very bright young mind. I mean, he's been around Cohen. He's been around McDaniels. He's been around some of these other, you know, really smart offensive innovators of the game. So I think they're not going to lose much as far as the OC. As far as Baker, you know, he never really got a great shake if you look at how he came in the league. Obviously, going to this factory of sadness up there in Cleveland who can't keep a franchise quarterback to save their life. But, you know, they had, I think he had like six different head coaches or six different offensive coordinators, five different head coaches, and then he gets traded to Carolina. It's not a scheme or system fit for him at all. They try to force the square peg into a round hole. Didn't work. They cut him. He finds success in L.A. in a very similar offensive system with a lot of motion, a lot of pre-snap looks, a lot of window dressing and stuff. And when Dave Canales came in, well, he didn't have direct experience with Sean McVay. He was, the offensive coordinator he was under was with McVay. So he brought in a lot of similarities to that McVay system, a lot of motion, and Cohen ramped it up. And I think he's real just comfortable in it. And the biggest thing, I think, following Tom Brady is not an easy feat. But when he came in here, the Bucs said, hey, just be yourself. Be Baker. And that really let him get comfortable. And I think where he really got the team and got the defense and got, obviously, the city of Tampa Bay on his side is his very first game when he truck sticks the corner for the Vikings and tells them, get your weight up, little boy. The defense went crazy. I think the Bucs fans went crazy after that. And ever since then, Baker's just been on a roll. The most touchdowns thrown by a quarterback since 2023 was 72. And looking to keep on going.
All right, JC, man, we appreciate you joining us, man, and we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully, we'll catch you out here as this is a big game. The Texans certainly don't want to start 0-2, and this is a real challenge, a Super Bowl level contending team coming into Houston. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for the insight.
Not even any Mike Evans talk coming home, but yeah.
We know Mike. We know Mike. We're good, bro. We know Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. There's J.C. Allen. He was ready for Mike Evans, wasn't he, baby? He had it. So was Tyler. Tyler, he was ready for – I'm going to tell you what.
He's a big part of that offense.
He talked – well, he is, but not as big a part. When you talk about the guy he just talked about, I'll be honest, Tyler and Clint, I was – that is one. I know it's just 1 week, but everything we talked about and heard from training camp, and now he's more of a concern. That kid, Emeka Ibuka from Ohio State, I did not think he was going to be as explosive as he was. I thought he maybe kind of maybe looked more like a possession type receiver. Yeah. He is a big playmaker, and you hate to make comparisons, but when you look at their top wide receiver, their top pick in the draft, and they're probably about 10, 15, 10, 12 spots away from each other. Ibuka is much more ready and in a different spot than Higgins is, and they're getting a lot more out of him. I was completely wrong on what he was going to be as a pro. That was – I mean, he looked like he was their go-to guy.
Yeah.
And they got Mike Evans.
Yeah, it was impressive, man. I think the most impressive part of his – first game as a pro was calling a shot. I mean, it's one thing to be out there as a rookie and physically look the part. Coming out of Ohio State or one of those top 10, 15 schools, you're going to look the part. It's another thing to be able to run, change speeds, have the twitch, all that kind of stuff, the tangible stuff. But it's another thing to have the ability to obviously notice, hey, man, that play we just ran, I was wide open, probably should have got the ball. And then to have the wherewithal to go to the sideline and say, hey, Mike, let's go back to that play because I was wide ass open. For them to listen,
yes,
go back out there and call it, and it happened. I mean, that's just one of those things that – I don't want to get too carried, but that's one of those things, man, that really – it changes the dynamic of your entire offense immediately game one.
Don't sound like no rookie.
No. When you got a set of eyes like that and when your team communicates like that and they can take it out on the field and actually execute it, like, you've got something special there. That's not just a good player or great player. That's something special. It's beneficial to the quarterback. It's beneficial to the play caller. That's impressive. That's impressive in a big way. And knowing that you're adding him to, obviously, Mike Evans and what's the other cat's name? The Godwin?
Yeah, well, he's doubtful in this game. I don't think he's going to go. Him and Tristan Wirfs. That was a big thing he brought up, Clint. Their offensive line may be in some trouble there. That you don't want you don't want to roll without Tristan Wirfs in this matchup with Derek Stingley with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. So that's a big thing for the Texans.
Yep, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. you know, it's the Texans, they got when you look at Danielle Hunter and you look at Will Anderson, I don't know if there's many tackles that are going to be able to hold up to him, even if it's some of the best in the league. If they do, it's going to be must-see TV type stuff, like to watch those guys. So to know that you got one that's injured and one that's a backup, I mean, that's a good look, man. That's definitely going to make the list of key matchups for me, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, it's one to watch, but that is good a good sign for the Texans. What you got coming up at the four?
Well, D'Amico Ryan spoke to the media. We had it right here on Sports Radio 16 on the drive, but there's one thing he said about one Texan that is injured that I think we got to circle back to. I think the fans want to hear it. If you heard it the first time, you're going to want to hear it again. And then there's something from this game last week that I think is getting a lot of run because it was the only negative on the defensive side of the football that we got to cuss and discuss this thing a little bit, Ron. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.